For those of you who don't know, Caitlin Clark's basketball journey for 2023-2024 is finally over. Her Indiana Fever team last night eliminated in the best of three, 2-0 by the Sun. That would be the Connecticut Sun, I believe, 87-81. Here are a list of the incredible accomplishments by Caitlin Clark in her rookie WNBA season. Most points by a point guard ever in WNBA season, in WNBA history. Most double doubles by a rookie guard in WNBA history. Most points by a rookie in WNBA history. Most assists by a rookie in WNBA history. First WNBA rookie to record 2 triple-doubles. First triple-double by a rookie in WNBA history. And first triple-double in Fever history. That would be the Indiana Fever. First player in WNBA history to be named Player of the Month and Rookie of the Month in the same month. First player in WNBA history with 20-plus points, 15-plus assists, and 5-plus rebounds in a game. Four-time WNBA Rookie of the Month. Three-time Eastern Conference Player of the Week. WNBA Rookie Single Season Scoring Record. WNBA Single Season Rookie Record for assists. I mean, I'm looking at this list, and it would take me another 5 minutes to go through the historic record-setting rookie season, and in many cases, just season for Caitlin Clark with the Indiana Fever in the WNBA. What I haven't mentioned is what happened on Sunday in Game 1 of the series between the Indiana Fever and the Connecticut Sun. On a Sunday afternoon in September, when the NFL is playing a normal schedule, 1 o'clock window, 4 o'clock games, and they decide to put on ABC at 3 p.m. a WNBA playoff game. 1.8 million people watched it Sunday. It was the league's most watched playoff game since the 2000 finals and the most watched playoff game on ESPN platforms ever, despite the fact that it aired simultaneously with NFL Week 3 games. That is the most important number that I just gave you from her rookie season. During the middle of an NFL Sunday, more people watched that game than any other game in the history of the league, except for a game in the 2000 finals. By the way, that audience is like bigger than, you know, an NHL Stanley Cup final game or semifinal game. That's amazing. Remember we talked about this last week? I'm like, yeah, as big of a draw as she is, I mean, who's going to watch that on Sunday during an NFL Sunday? The way they treated her ultimately as a rookie, that league, the Olympics, the whole thing, disgraceful. I mean, look, you stare the gift horse in the mouth, and then you don't feed her, you don't treat her right as a rookie. And all this stuff from early on in her rookie season, well, she's got to earn it. I'm all for competitive, you know, fire, all of that. But ultimately, it was disgraceful the way they treated her in her rookie season. Nobody even knew this league existed with the exception of a few hundred thousand people. Will anybody watch now that she and her team's been eliminated? The answer is hardly anybody, again. But they'll build it up. When does it start? The spring? April? Was that the beginning of her WNBA season? March?
No, it was after March because she did March Madness. So I think it was
right.
April.
It was after March. May. Yeah.
May, April, May. Something like that.
It was fun to watch her. I mean, once football season started, I stopped paying attention to where her games were and when she was playing. But I watched a lot of them, man.
Was that game that you were just talking about her game, or was that another game that drew a million? I thought it was another game that drew a million people.
No, game one, Indiana, Connecticut, 1.8 million viewers on ABC Sunday at 3.
Well, I think then the Vegas game, the Aces also drew a million viewers.
The 1 p.m. contest, That day, Atlanta and New York drew 410,000 viewers. The 5 p.m. matchup between Phoenix and Minnesota averaged 403,000 viewers. And then the late night game between the Las Vegas Aces and the Seattle Storm drew 461,000 viewers. So
maybe it peaked at a million, but averaged 450, which is not terrible for an NFL Sunday.
Say that again.
That's not a terrible viewership for an NFL Sunday, considering where women's basketball has been in years past.
Yeah, but it's one-fourth of the 1.8 million that she drew. It's what we saw all year long.
True.
That game that was, by the way, as the 1 o'clock window is winding down, and by the way, it's a pretty good 1 o'clock window on Sunday, and you're gearing up for the late afternoon window, I mean, that's the worst possible time, right? Wouldn't you say? To try to compete with the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, they should be playing their games on like Monday through.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. But she drew one. I say she because it is she drew 1.8 million viewers. None of the other games drew more than 461,000 on average. Now, if the reason you brought it up, you're about to tell me that the 461,000 is a lot more than what they would have had last year on a Sunday during the NFL season, then I understand that. She's lifted the entire league. She's lifted interest in the entire league, even in games that she wasn't playing in. But the game she's playing in, I mean, it's exponentially higher in terms of the audience.
Yeah, I got the game wrong. It was game two between the Aces and Storm that pulled nearly a million viewers, but that's not going up against the NFL.
When was that on?
That must have been, if they started on Sunday, it was either it was probably on Tuesday. It
would have been Tuesday.
Yeah, so that's on me. I pulled the wrong game. But they still drew a million without the NFL, which is pretty good.
Yeah. You and I sat here last week and said, oh my God, what a mistake to put her on at 3 p.m. on an NFL Sunday. Have these games start on Tuesday. Go back-to-back, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, it's basketball, you know? I mean, we get that every once in a while in the NBA playoffs. Not in many years, but we've had back-to-backs in the NBA playoffs. But she went out and drew the largest audience they've seen in 24 years on an NFL Sunday. That's crazy. Anyway. That's it for the season, talking WNBA. I hope you enjoyed it. I did. She's a hell of a player. Everything about her I like. Everything about her. So, we have a busy football show, per usual. It is Thursday. We have a Thursday night game in the division. Meadowlands tonight. Cowboys-Giants. I mean, this is a desperation spot for Dallas here early in the season. Like, this is a code red game for the Cowboys. They play the Steelers next week, the Lions the week after that, and then they're at 49ers, at Falcons, Eagles, Texans. If they don't win this game and they fall to 1-3, their season is almost over. I mean, it's hard to say that about the NFL as much as I preach. It's a week-to-week league. But they've got so much going on in that organization, that's over and above the football that's played. I think Mike McCarthy's done at the bye week if they lose tonight. You know, they'd have to beat Pittsburgh and Detroit to save his job. Actually, you know what? I don't think Jerry fires coaches in season, right? He doesn't. What are you going to do?
Years.
Elevate Mike Zimmer? It's the defense that is the problem right now. He's the only coach on the staff that's got head coaching experience. Huge game tonight. I do not like a side tonight. A lot of you thought I would have the Giants tonight. There's public money on Dallas, definitely. There's sharp money on Dallas, too. I don't like the game tonight. Do you?
No, I don't. I do think it'd be funny if New York wins. Maybe as we get closer to kickoff, if we get a surge of money from the sharps in one direction or the other, I'll take a swing at it. But as of right now, I don't plan on playing it.
I'm not planning on playing it, but what you just said would convince me. Like right now, the line 6, Sharp Money's, you know, moved it up from like 4.5 to 6. If, you know, if we had one of those games where we just saw that number start to plummet and it got down to 4.5, 4 at kickoff, and there was massive, you know, smart, sharp money on the Giants, I'd be getting a bad number at that point, but I might take a flyer at that point. I actually do think the Giants have a chance to win the game just in thinking about the matchup. The only problem is that the Cowboys have really had their way recently with Daniel Jones and the Giants. I mean, last year, remember, they won 40-0 in the opener, and then they won 49-17 in the rematch at home. I mean, that's about as one-sided a two-game divisional set as you can get. And the year before that, they beat the Giants twice. That's 4 in a row. Let me look back at 21. Beat the Giants 44-20 and beat the Giants 21-6. That's 6 in a row against the Giants. Go back to the COVID season. They lost to the Giants in the season finale, and it didn't mean anything for Dallas in 2020. They were 6-10 that year. I forgot that Dallas sucked during the COVID year. Was it? Yeah. Well, that was when they had DiNucci, and you know, Prescott got hurt in the first Giant game. But they've owned the Giants over the last few years. It's not, you know, it's not a good matchup for the Giants for whatever reason. But the Giants beat Cleveland last week. They certainly had a shot to beat Washington the week before that. Had they had a kicker. By the way, their kicker last week missed a huge kick, up 21-15. He missed a kick that would have given them a 9-point lead with like 2 minutes to go. So Cleveland had an opportunity late in that game. But this is for early season, this is about as must-win as it gets for a team. I mean, the expectations there may not have been Super Bowl this year, but they were 10, 11, 12 wins again. And the postseason, and obviously the discussion about McCarthy and Dak. I mean, the conversation's over about Dak. They gave him the money. They gave him the bag, kids. And so now it's about McCarthy. I bet you that if they lose to the Giants tonight, or if they beat the Giants, lose to the Steelers and the Lions, and they're sitting there 2-4, if they're 2-4 or 1-5, there's a chance he could get fired. But the problem, again, is, you know, if they continue to get run over by teams, you really give the job to Zimmer as the interim? I think that I changed my mind. He's going to keep McCarthy the whole season, even if the season goes into the dumper. Big game, though, for the Cowboys tonight. It does feel kind of must win. Just the idea that if they go down tonight in the Meadowlands against the Giants, just the reaction tomorrow around the NFL, I really want that to happen. I'm rooting for the New York football Giants tonight against the Cowboys. That would make the Giants 2-2. Could have easily been 3-2, 3-1. You know, by the end of Sunday, given that the Eagles have a tough Sunday matchup on the road at Tampa, 1 o'clock kick, Washington could be the lone 3-1 team. We'll talk a little bit about the game Sunday. Tomorrow will be the full preview and picks, but some injuries could certainly play a role in the game on Sunday. Dan Quinn spoke yesterday, ruled out Austin Eckler. That hurts. Not having him, you know, is, I think, a difference maker. McNichols did a nice job, certainly in pass pro, on that last touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin. I'm wondering, by the way, have they already made a move yet, bringing a running back up off the practice squad? Have you seen anything? Because you're not going to go into that game with two running backs.
No, definitely not. Robinson, I haven't seen anything. Yeah, I'm scouring the beat reporters. I didn't get an email of a PR move or anything like that, so maybe that happens today.
On the practice squad, Chris Rodriguez and Kaz Allen, who really, remember, towards the end of preseason was lining up in the backfield. Remember? Michael Wiley, too, the kid that we really liked out of Arizona. that played really well in the preseason. So I would imagine one of those three would be elevated for the game on Sunday. I was also thinking, and I don't know if the, Quinn's been asked about this. I mean, we can ask Ben about it later. When Marcus Mariota will be ready to play. He's on IR, but was it a fixed amount of time? Was it four games for Mariota?
It has to be at least four games if you put on IR.
And he did go on IR before the opener, correct?
Correct.
At Tampa?
Yeah, so he'd have to be at least till week four, so maybe next week against, or the week after against Cleveland, he'd be available to be brought back up. But right now, no, you won't see him this weekend.
No Austin Eckler, no Cleveland Farrell. He's been ruled out as well. So we'll see a lot of what we saw defensive end-wise on Monday night in Arizona. The total on this game is 50. It's the highest total of any NFL game this weekend, which, you know, before the season started, which is 3 weeks ago, Washington was not considered to be an offensive juggernaut at all. You know, the total against Tampa was like 41. It started at 41. It may have gotten up to something a little bit higher by the time we got to the opener. But it was one of the lower totals. And now the combination of Washington's offense doesn't come off the field until they score points. They don't punt. And the fact that their defense is historically awful is driving very high totals. And, by the way, they're playing an Arizona team that can really score. Arizona 2 weeks ago in their game against the Rams at home put up 41. They put up 28 on the road against Buffalo in week one. And then last week were stymied a bit by Detroit. Turnovers, they had a turnover in that game, an interception in that game that hurt them. And it was one of those kind of fast-moving games. But what really hurt them Sunday against Detroit was they, unlike Washington, couldn't stay on the field. They were 1-for-9 on third down, and their punter punted 6 times. So, interesting matchup. They're going to be without Trey McBride, I think, who's also in concussion protocol. They have some injuries up front offensively. So, injuries could be a big factor in the game Sunday. But I really think they're going to miss Austin Eckler. I just think that through the first three games, if we all agree, and I mean you'd have to be insane not to agree with this, that the MVP through three games has been Jaden Daniels, number two for me would be Eckler through three games. I think he's been the second most important player on the team over the first 3 weeks. Is that easy or is that debatable?
No, I'd say that's pretty easy. I tweeted during the game that I think he was the best free agent acquisition this offseason across the NFL. I don't know anybody that's been signed this offseason and immediately had more of a positive impact in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah. This from Allen. Allen writes, "You gave us the offensive rookie of the year odds the other day. What about MVP odds for Jaden?" Interesting. Because that should have been something that entered my mind when we were looking up offensive rookie of the year odds, which he is the favorite right now, and he's become a heavy favorite. Malik Nabers is actually the second betting favorite for NFL offensive rookie of the year. I looked at a couple of spots before the show started. He's not up there that high. There are a lot of players in front of him. Josh Allen right now, pretty much across the board, is the favorite, and then it's Mahomes. And then you got a big drop-off to guys like C.J. Stroud, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, and even Jalen Hurts. And then there's, you know, you get guys that have come up, you know, in the discussion, guys like Sam Darnold, amazing, Kyler Murray, and then you get to Jaden Daniels. I looked at like two or three sites. His odds were like, he was like 13th, 14th among players for most valuable player. That's still higher than he was before the season started. I don't know, maybe you can find him at a better not a better number if you want to bet him, but at a better favorite, a higher favorite. But that's what I saw mostly.
He's pretty much 100-1 across the board.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I saw 11. I saw plus 1100, plus 1200, plus 1600, and I think plus 1100 was the best I saw. So you saw a plus 1000 somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Vegas Insider that has all of the legal books, has all their odds in there, and he is. This might not be updated, but he's plus 100,000 or plus 10,000 there.
He has another game like the one he had Monday night, Sunday in Arizona, and they win, and then backs it up with another good game and a win against the Browns at home, and they're sitting there at 4-1. He will be at that point in the top five, would be my prediction. In terms of MVPs, you got to have the team results too, and they've had them. They're 2-1, but his performances has to lead consistently to wins. Could he win the MVP with a great year, but finish 8-9 because their defense is so bad? Probably not. Not this year, because there will be other options. It looks like it's early with quarterbacks on teams that are going to be pretty good. Josh Allen would certainly be, along with Patrick Mahomes, the two front runners. That's pretty easy at this point. But good question, good thought. It's early, as is everything in our conversation about Jaden Daniels. And that's what I want to talk about right now. And we will start that conversation after this. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
10 guys on the field. Third down and 7. This one is launched from McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin.
It was a great game on Monday night, that's for sure. We know about what happened the other night. He set the rookie record for the highest completion percentage in NFL history at 91.9%, which 91.3%. We've never seen a rookie do that on 20 attempts. The QBR the other night, 93, was the highest in the organization since 2016. The PFF grade, 95.9, was the best grade of the season for any quarterback and the highest ever recorded for any Washington quarterback since they started to rank quarterbacks or to measure quarterbacks via PFF. He was number two in the league over the weekend in expected points added per play. He was seventh in the league in average air yards per attempt. And the accolades just keep coming in. And I'm going to preface what I'm going to say with, I am the biggest fan. I was last year. I was all off season. That's who I wanted. And through three games, I feel pretty good about Jaden Daniels. But three games is too early. You know, it's too early to know for sure that he's going to be great. It's too early to know for sure that he's going to be good. It's too early to know for sure that he's going to be good enough. It's too early to know for sure that they got it right. It's also too early to know for sure that Chicago got it wrong, or Denver got it wrong, or anybody else got it wrong. It's three games. Yes, Monday night was one of the best quarterbacked games by a rookie we have ever seen. And it took place in front of a national audience. And I do think if the game had been a Sunday 1 o'clock game, we wouldn't have had these huge declarations that came afterwards. I mean, former players, former coaches, you know, the so-called film experts, but, you know, the guys that at least played the game that are doing film breakdown, they've all weighed in. Jaden was the best quarterback in the draft. Caleb Williams and Bo Nix, we haven't seen McCarthy or Penix Jr., or who am I missing? Did I just name the six? Drake May. Really haven't seen Drake May. But everybody's convinced. Massive declarations across the board. Wow. Washington is set for years to come. They finally got their guy. Nobody wants to believe it more than I do. And look, my gut tells me they got it right. My gut tells me they got it right the night they drafted him, but you don't know until you see him play actual games. And now we've seen three actual games. One of them spectacular. One of them pretty damn good. The other one, not bad. And of course, it's like you're jumping to these conclusions that if he did that in his third game, imagine what he's going to be like in his sixth game, eighth game, 12th game, his second year, third year, seventh year. And I just feel like the stories of these quarterbacks, even the best ones, with the exception of a few, a rare few. I mean, Mahomes didn't really play at all in his rookie season, but when he did play in his second year, it was pretty apparent right away. It was. He was also in his second year. He had a full year to sit behind Alex Smith, and so it wasn't exactly the same thing as playing as a rookie. Josh Allen, nobody thought was any good early on. C.J. Stroud, everybody was convinced was great pretty early on. He got absolutely walloped by Minnesota on Sunday. People gave up on Baker Mayfield, on Sam Darnold, on Geno Smith at one point. People have always shorted Andy Dalton. People have thrown in the towel on Bryce Young already. There's just so many ups and downs to these quarterback careers. And I'm wondering if any of you think you know when for sure it would be safe to say, we know. Like, when is that time? Is it half of the season? Is it a full season? Is it sometime during year two? Because I'm convinced it's way too early. Three games, sorry. I've got a hunch. I do have a strong hunch, but I had that hunch going in, so I was predisposed to thinking this was going to work. But still, I've watched enough football to know that three games, one great game, isn't enough. I'll tell you when I think it will be time to at least pound the table and say, they got it right. And that time can't come until he faces adversity. We need to see Jaden Daniels and how he handles adversity. You're never really measuring someone until you measure them in the face of stress, of angst, of true, you know, people are questioning you. Adversity, a bad game, a bad loss, a bad stretch. For me, I think he'll handle it well. I do. I've seen him in college when his team's trailing at Missouri and he's banged up, come back into the game and lead that team to a victory. I saw what he did in Alabama when they had no chance of stopping Bama, but he willed them to a 28-28 game early in the third quarter before he legitimately got knocked out. I think he's going to handle adversity well. But at the pro level, where you're not protected as you are in college, you're now an adult. You're on your own. You know, you're not going back to the dorms at the end of a tough loss, hanging out with friends playing PlayStation. I need to see Jaden handle that first moment, the follow-up moment to that, maybe a third time, on how he handles adversity. I don't think you know until you see somebody struggle a little bit and then how they handle that. I do have a sense that all of the accolades, all of the attention, that he's not an attention whore. He doesn't strike me that way. I don't think we're going to be bombarded with hashtags and with social media. I don't. I could be wrong. You know, I don't know what his inner circle is. I don't know how the people around him, you know, handle him. There's a lot we don't know. I like everything that's been said. I like what my gut tells me from afar. But we're not going to know until he faces adversity. That's my answer to the question. The question being, when will we know? It may be I need to see half of a season. It may be I need to see him in a playoff game or a game that's a true crunch time winner-go-home game. For me, I need to see him face adversity and watch how he handles that. Not just on the field, but off of it. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. 0980. When will you know that they got it right? When will you know that he's going to be great? When will you know in your own mind and heart, okay, we got one, finally? It's too early to say it after three games, in my opinion. I have a hunch. I can't declare it yet. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Denton, what's your answer to this question?
So mine was going to be very similar to yours, just worded a little differently, and the answer would be the game after his first bad game, because you asked for, like, is it 4 games, 8 games, 16 games, whatever. It's the game after his first really, really bad game to see how he responds. But I would also just kind of add to that, probably by around the 8-week mark, you'd have a pretty good idea, because it means one of two things. It means, one, he's either done what we have said, which is face some sort of adversity and then bounce back from said adversity, or it's taken him 8 weeks to have a bad game in the NFL with an abysmal defense, which would just be kind of a stunning revelation. And by that point, I would have a pretty good idea. All right, this guy is clearly the dude, and you can continue to build a roster, and you can now focus on building a roster around him. That question at that position is then officially answered.
Yeah, I think we're giving the same answer. I mean, for me, it's how does he handle adversity when first, you know, presented with it? You know, and that is, how does he handle it on the field? How does he handle it off the field? You don't learn enough about somebody until they're in those moments where they're being doubted, where they're being criticized, where the result wasn't what it was Monday night. It was the opposite of what it was Monday night. You know, Pat Mahomes started off his career, because I really think in many ways the Mahomes start to his career is maybe Marino is the only true comp where he was great from the beginning and he never stopped being great, because that's pretty much what Mahomes was. Now, they lost the AFC Championship game in his rookie, in his second year. But when he started in 2018, okay, the first five games were wins. There was only two competitive wins, and he threw, during that stretch, he threw 14 touchdown passes and no picks in the first four games. 14 touchdown passes, no picks in the first four games. They were 4-0. They actually won the fifth game he played, and he threw two picks. But even in the game that they lost that year in his first year of starting, it was a Sunday night game at New England. They lost 43-40. He threw for 352 and four touchdowns. Later that year, they played that epic Monday night game, highest scoring Monday night game of all time, ended up eclipsing the Skins-Packers game in 83, the 54-51 loss in the Coliseum against the Rams. He was 33-46 for 478 and six touchdowns. He threw for 50 touchdowns, 12 picks, and 5,097 yards. I mean, like, I'm trying to think, has Pat Mahomes really ever faced adversity? Like, they just have never been bad. They've never had, like, a big losing streak. He's never really played poor football that's led to a losing streak. I mean, last year was probably the worst year of his career, and they won the Super Bowl. Did they face adversity? I don't know. When you've already won two of them, can you really face adversity after that? So maybe Jaden's career will take a similar path. Let's hope. That would be awesome. But 99% of the quarterbacks, even the great ones, they face that moment where people are doubting them. And to me, he's going to have that moment at some point. And how he handles that, and if he handles that well, then I'll know for sure. 301-230-0980. When will you know for sure they got it right on Jaden Daniels? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Major League Baseball last night, Nats lose to Kansas City 3-0, another scoreless day for the Nationals. They're back in action today, closing up this series, assuming the weather holds up, at 105. It'll be the final start, more likely than not, of Patrick Corbin in a Nationals uniform. WNBA postseason, the Connecticut Sun eliminate Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever 87-81 to win game two and take the series 2-0. Caitlin Clark scored 25 points and had 9 assists. Alyssa Thomas led the Sun with 19. Somehow, in spite of the great season, the way the WNBA playoffs line up, Caitlin Clark didn't get a home playoff game in this series. And just a few days after Brett Favre reveals a Parkinson's diagnosis, former Vikings quarterback Tommy Kramer revealed that he has been diagnosed with dementia. And NBA news, Derrick Rose announces he is retiring from the NBA, the former MVP calling it quits after about 15 seasons, a great career for Derrick Rose in spite of some of the injuries that occurred early on. And that's what's trending.
When will you know for sure that they got it right with Jaden Daniels? My personal view, even though I've got a strong hunch that they got it right, is it's just too early. Three games is just way too early. Like, that's obvious, isn't it? Like, it's too early to write off Caleb Williams after three games. People have started to do that. It's too early to say definitively that Chicago got it wrong and Washington got it right. I mean, we've learned our lessons from these. Just here in our city, I mean, that trade in 2022, 11 back to 16 with the Saints, they take Olave and we get Sam Howell and we get, you know, Jahan Dotson and we get Cole Turner. We did get Brian Robinson Jr. out of it. And everybody thought, you know, four games into that year, oh my God, we fleeced New Orleans. Stop. It's just too early. Too early to know anything. My answer, and Denton pretty much has the same answer, is I'll know when he first faces adversity and he handles it well. You know, he has a bad game. People are questioning him over a two or a three period game because we're so reactionary. That'll happen if he plays poorly on Sunday. The Monday night game will be almost forgotten if he goes and throws three picks and gets, say, banged up on a run where he didn't slide or didn't get down in time. You know, people, oh, it'll never last. We'll be having that conversation next week. A lot of people will. For me, it's you can't really measure these players until they faced adversity. And I came up with the two examples. I don't know that there's another example other than Patrick Mahomes and Dan Marino, who pretty much started off flawlessly and never really faced adversity. You know, Marino eventually did with the questioning of, will he ever win a Super Bowl? You know, but his play was already brilliant. He was already etched in stone as one of the greats to do it when he, you know, shattered the NFL record in his second season. He didn't start the entire rookie year. When he came in and started, you know, he went 7-2. They got to the postseason. 20 touchdowns, 6 picks, and 8 starts, 9 starts. But year 2, when he threw for 48 touchdowns and threw for over 5,000 yards, it's like there was no adversity. But almost all of them, all of the great ones, get questioned at some point. That's when I'll know. 301-230-0980. When will you know they got it right? You know, forecast down the road when you will definitely say, wow, they got it right. We know now. Start with Mike and Frederick. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing? Listen, I do think that it is probably a little too early to tell, but I am seeing signs that you know are very optimistic. You know, he misses Terry on Monday night on that long ball, and he comes right back down, drives us down the field, and we end up scoring a touchdown on that possession. Even if you go back to that first game in Tampa, you know, I know it's garbage time. You know, they're in a prevent defense, but he's still moving the ball even though things aren't going well overall in that first game. And then the New York game, he looked great that game as well. So I'm not ready to crown him yet, but I definitely feel optimistic about how he looks and things moving forward. There just is a different feel than there has been in years past, especially the quarterback position with Jaden.
Yeah, but again, like, he had a great game. He has shown progress in three games. Everything we hear, gym rat, key guy, meaning wants the key to the building so he can be the first in, last out. And all that's great over the summer, but we don't know until he plays games. And then all of a sudden, he's played three, and he just had one of the greatest quarterback games by a rookie in NFL history. And it was on national TV. But I can't let myself get to the point where I'm absolutely sure, because I think a lot of us have been around. We understand that there are, more likely than not, some tough times along the way when he's a young player. And I want to see how he handles those. Let's go to Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, go ahead.
Morning, Kevin. I feel good now. I think after six or eight games, I'll feel better. But I'd like to see an entire season. What I like is I think that when there's a bad play, whether it's because of him or somebody, he lets it roll off his back. It doesn't affect him on the next play. I think his arm is good, and I think we've seen progress like the last game when he ran and he actually slid instead of diving head first, which he did before. So, I'll feel 100% better after the full season when he plays some of these tougher NC East teams, NFL East teams, and we can get some better data on him.
Yeah. Hey, you know, one of the things he's never had to do at Arizona State or LSU, he's never had to play in cold weather. Wow. What if we find out late in the season, you know, and they're battling for a playoff spot, and they got a home game on December 22nd against Philadelphia, and it's sleeting in 29 or 30 degrees outside, and we find out he doesn't like cold weather and doesn't play well when it's cold. Like, there are a lot of things we still have to learn. They have to learn about him, and they know so much more about him than we do. I think the one thing that is really comforting is this idea that he loves football and cares more about that than any of the other stuff. You know, but I swear to God, I'm pretty sure after three, four games, we were saying the exact same things about RG3. With that said, I don't think they're comparable as players. I've said that going back to, you know, January, February. I think Jaden's skill and talent and advancement as a passer is just much different than RG3's was at the same time. Let's go to Devon in Rockville. Go ahead.
What's up, Cam? Good morning, buddy.
Devon, what's up, man? I haven't heard from you in a while.
I'm good. I know, right? But you know I'm always listening. So I really believe, even listening to you, Kevin, you know you're such a genius mindset when it comes to football. I can hear it in you, Kevin. You know that we have our guy. You just are so burnt as a Redskins Commander fan that if you jump on a limb and you don't want to jinx it, that's what I think it is. We got our guy. It's not about, we don't have a finished product, but all his tangibles lead to let us know. It's nothing that's too high, nothing that's too low that's going to break him. The only thing that can stop him, he's not just going to go out there and just have one of these type of games and have the start of this season and go out there and just be Bryce Young, you know what I'm saying? So it's like he's only going to tread up, 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 up. Adversity, he's been dealing with that his whole life. He's too small, but he played in the SEC. Like, I know you, Kevin. You can look at that young man and know. You say it all the time. It's nothing that's too big. It's nothing that's going to bother him.
And I love a lot.
He is our guy.
Yes,
got it.
You're right. There's so much about him that I loved this time last year, that I love this time this year, that's totally translatable to the league he's playing in. But this is different in many ways than being, you know, a 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old playing in college. Even though he played at the highest levels, with the highest levels of pressure, then add to it a Heisman Trophy campaign season. So he's been through, you know, feeling the big moments and dealing with them. What he hasn't faced, really, is true adversity, where he's being questioned as to whether or not he's actually any good, you know, or being criticized by, you know, NFL pundits every, you know, every show on ESPN, local sports talk shows, because of a bad two or three games. My personal gut feel is he'll handle that moment very well. And he will. He's a competitor, he's a gym rat, and when you're faced with adversity, you bury your head and you work even harder. And everything we've heard is that's who he is. You know, and he's not a finger pointer. He's not a me guy. That's what we think so far, and that those are good signs, but it's hard for me to say after three games, it's over. They got their guy. Even though that is my hunch. But I had that hunch before he played the games. Let's go to Lap. Lap, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
How are you, Lap?
It's easy to point to the Monday night game, but what really showed me, and I was always sold on him just like you were, but what really showed me, man, that 2 minutes he ran with the Giants, man, he didn't look rattled. He was poised. You know, he was confident in his ability and marched downfield. And it looks like we're going to have to lean on the offense more so. The defense is really scaring me. I'm just hoping maybe they can play similar to when RG3 was here, you know, get some turnovers, get some key stops when needed, or try to hold teams to field goals. But we definitely going to have to lean on that offense. But I just want to prove everybody wrong because, you know, all these people are saying about Drake May and Bo Nix and Caleb Williams, man, I just want to show that we really got the best guy in the draft. And
well, I don't care if they got good guys, too. I just want our guy to be good. I mean, it's way too early to feel negatively about those guys. I mean, you know this. You know this. In 2012, we had shock and awe, the opener against New Orleans, where it was like, oh, my God. It was the Cincinnati game in many ways because he rushed for, you know, whatever it was, 60 yards. He threw for 300, two touchdowns, and they went down as a big underdog and beat the Saints. And then he was really good in that next game against the Rams that they lost, but he was really good. A couple of games later, he let him down the field for a game-winning field goal at Tampa. Remember that? Four games into RG3's career, there was no hint for fans anyway. There may have been out there, but for fans that he was going to get carried away with self-promotion, that he was going to turn a lot of people off. I mean, we did know that he had kind of a breakable body because he had been injured a couple of times at Baylor, but I guarantee you that back then, I probably did a similar segment after he let him down the field to beat Tampa and said, do we know yet? And most people said, absolutely, they got it right. Greatest trade in franchise history. So I don't think they're the same person. I don't even think they're the same player. I've emphasized that over and over again. I'm just saying we've been through this. And the last caller, it may have been you who mentioned it as well. But the caller who mentioned, you know, we're skeptical by nature at this point. We've earned our skepticism right. You know, it's been earned over a quarter century. I'm not skeptical. I know some people probably are holding off because it's like, oh, whatever, you know, bad can happen, will happen. But I do feel good about him so far. But I'm not ready to declare it yet. I need to see him in rough spots and overcome those. Let's go to Lou. Lou, go ahead.
Kevin, what's going on, my guy?
Hey,
shout
Lou,
out
what's
to
happening,
these four Hall of Fame callers, man. Devon, man, Lap, man. But yeah, as far as, you know, I got not three letter, but I want to see, this is the word that you're probably looking for. Feed me more of those kind of games, maybe like 3-4 times. I mean, the entire, like, boat, like, the defense, the special team, everybody has to click. If I need to see that kind of game, the Monday night game, at least 4 or 5 times, and then I could say, that's the guy. But after three
you
games,
you need to see that game 3 or 4 more times. You may never see that game again.
No,
that's how good
saying,
it was.
I'm just saying, no, but something similar to that. Like,
I
we
know.
Need to see
no.
more of that.
You
want
to see him be the best player on the field 3 or 4 more times with a win?
Pretty much. I just, whether if it's a win or loss, if he put on a show that the defense might slip, and you know, it seemed like they're not clicking right now. So it seemed like we're going to have to put up 30-plus points to try to survive a game. So I need to see the defense clicking. If they click, and then, you know, it could be that 2020. We didn't have a quarterback that 2019 season. All we needed was a quarterback. That defense was a top five. So if they could kind of click in somehow, some way, I don't know.
What defense was top five?
I mean, top 10.
The 2022, the 2022 team. Yeah, the 2022 team had a top 10-ish defense. Yeah, I thought you said 2019 or 2020.
Whatever that season was. But, yeah, I just need to see more of these games, and then I could kind of say, you know, that's the guy. But it's too early, man. Everybody have to click. It's just not him. I need to see the special team, everybody. So if they do that, a couple more games, and then I could just kind of, you know, like I said, I could relax and say that's our guy.
Good to hear from you, Lou. Appreciate it. I got to go. I'm up against a hard break. I just wanted to mention one thing because you talked about defense. Best friend for a rookie quarterback is a running game and a defense. And if he has these kinds of games with the defense they have, it may not take too many more of those for me to know for sure. Because in many ways, the adversity he's facing is needing to score on every single drive, which, by the way, was the adversity he faced at LSU, too. But I'm talking about real adversity. Sorry for those of you I didn't get to. We can do this again maybe later on in the show. Up next is Charch. He's going to join us a little bit earlier this day. We've got a guest from Arizona coming up to talk Cardinals at 11:30. Kevin Chiancho, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.